So at the beginning, Rinpoche is reciting the Heart Sutra. That's because in the Maitreya's commentary, it was mentioned the foundation, the path, and the fruition. So now today in Singapore, what we are going to talk about is how to gain happiness and to be free from suffering through the Buddhist path. So beginning, we must understand now what exactly is suffering. Now what's the nature of suffering? Now in the Bodhisattva, guide Bodhisattva way of life, there are three types of suffering. There's any suffering and suffering, suffering and change, as well as the all pervasive or aggregate suffering. Now with regard to suffering, now what it talks about is the feeling of suffering. Now what is meant by suffering? Suffering, it refers to say sickness when you are not feeling well. Now all these things refers to the suffering and suffering. Now the second type of suffering is that of the suffering of change. Now it refers to temporary happiness. The temporary happiness is of the nature of suffering. As a result of change or impermanence, it results in suffering. So therefore, we call it the suffering of impermanence or suffering of change. And the last type is that of a suffering of aggregates. Now in simple form, it refers to suffering that comes from arising from body, that arises again from karma, etc. Now these are a very simple introduction to what these three kinds of sufferings are. Now in the Lamrim Chemo, now the three types of defilements that we that are mentioned about are that of suffering and suffering, suffering and change, and suffering of aggregates. Now a simple introduction to it as to what is suffering. Now it is again divided to the body of the suffering of the physical suffering or that of the mental suffering. Now body suffering or physical suffering refers to say suffering arises from illness or from the of harm. Now this is that of the body suffering. Now the inner suffering or mental suffering refers to suffering to being harmed by others because others due to others' unpleasant speech that causes us mental suffering. So now this refers to our mental suffering. Now in one of the commentary, it is said that. In the physical suffering is easily understandable, but mental suffering is actually quite difficult to fathom, to think about, to contemplate, to understand, because it is only through by understanding what is suffering that we can know what is true happiness. Now, when we feel happiness, now suffering is non-existent. Now, when there is suffering, there is no happiness. And the happiness, there's no suffering. Now, these are actually mutually exclusive. They cannot be simultaneously existent. They are in contradiction, and you could even say that they are in direct opposite to one another. Now, as to what is achieving happiness. Now, what exactly is happiness? Happiness is the elimination of suffering. And with the elimination of suffering, we have happiness. Now, to say in simple terms, to achieve happiness, what it means is to have the cause of happiness in the very first place. Now, as mentioned before, there's the suffering of physical as well as the mental, also there of mental suffering. Now, but physical suffering, we can temporarily relieve them, but to completely eliminate suffering at its roots, we actually involve even more difficult measures. For example, through mental physical suffering, we can use food, drink, or medicine in order to quench to relieve ourselves of physical suffering. Now, but these are all temporary measures to relieve ourselves of physical suffering. Now, as we mentioned earlier, when we have a physical suffering, now one of the manifestation is that of say stomach ache. We can actually use the appropriate medicine to relieve them, and this even a worldly person can use that as a remedy because this is what we call the primary manifestation. Now, for example, if we have hunger pangs, we can actually partake of food sustenance in order to relieve ourselves of hunger. Or we are thirsty, we can actually use water to quench our thirst. Now, similarly, when we are cold, we can use a warmer clothing, thicker clothing, in order to make our ourselves warm. Now, these are even what worldly people can do to relieve ourselves of suffering. Now, with regard to external, in other words, we can use external measures or external phenomena to temporarily relieve ourselves of suffering. And however, all these worldly measures, temporary measures, are not able to eliminate suffering at its roots completely. Now, moreover, we must also understand that a simple way to eliminate the cause of suffering, such as that of taking a water to quench our thirst, or taking food in order to relieve ourselves of hunger. Now, these are what ordinary, even worldly person, without having to go through the Dharma, the Buddhist teachings, or go through any other spiritual means to relieve us of these forms of sufferings. Now, we must also understand that having relief or having happiness is also divided to form. That's of, temporary or temporary suffering, or say ultimate temporary happiness or ultimate suffering. Now, temporary happiness will not need the Dharma in order to achieve them. Even a worldly person will know it. But in order to have permanent happiness, from the Buddhist point of view, we can only do it through the Dharma. Especially, if we want to eliminate the suffering of aggregates, now definitely we need to go through, say, the lumbering or the stages of path enlightenment through renunciation, bodhicitta, or the right view of emptiness, in order to acquire the cause for permanent happiness. And this is only through Dharma practice, and Dharma practice refers to authentic application of the Dharma, such as in the stages of path to enlightenment. Why it is mentioned, why is the Dharma profound? The Dharma is profound because we understand that death is inevitable, is unavoidable, is inevitable, eventual. So the only thing that could bring us the ultimate happiness is just the Dharma at the time of death. And for this reason, the Dharma is known as to be profound. It is only through the Dharma that we can achieve permanent happiness. And I mentioned as to using the Dharma to eliminate all kinds of suffering. Now, we might also mention that what exactly are the types of suffering that we wish to eliminate. Now is also now this world can be divided into six aspects. Now, and the six aspects also each correspond to their respective form of suffering. Suffering of the hell rhyme, hungry ghost rhyme, animal rhyme, the asura rhyme, human rhyme, and that suffering of the gods too. Now, in regard to the suffering of the hell, there's that of suffering of the extreme cold and heat. Now, the hungry ghost rhyme, there's hungry of the suffering of the hunger, human beings, that of the birth sickness, or which death, asura is that of the fighting, and God's death, impermanence, etc. So these refer, there are these six types of respective suffering that exist in these rhymes, in these six respective rhymes. Now, in order to eliminate the suffering of the hell rhymes, now, in the hell rhyme, the extreme heat and cold, how to, in order to stop them? Now, through the lumbering teachings, now is explained that the way to get rid of their suffering is through refuge, Now, is also, this belongs to the lowest scope essence teaching. Now, the lowest scope essence teaching was mentioned, the refuge is being emphasized in this part of the teaching. Now, why must we take refuge? It's because, in the hell rhymes, the extreme heat and cold, there are fear of this kind of suffering. In order to get rid of this suffering, in this hell rhyme, this is reason why we take refuge. We take refuge in the Buddha Dharma Sangha because they have the ability to save us and to prevent us from getting reborn in the three lower rhymes. And through the pure faith in the Buddha Dharma Sangha, we take refuge. And with just pure faith alone is not sufficient. We must also need to learn, and through Buddha Dharma to learn, and then to practice, and through pure with these aspects we take a refuge in the triple gem, and then this will ensure that we not be reborn to three lower rhymes. Now, through taking refuge, we can achieve happiness. And what kind of happiness is it? This is to prevent ourselves from being reborn to three lower rhymes and the future life to achieve the happiness of gods as well as the demigods. Now this is the queen essence teaching of the lower scope, and it's through refuge we will gain happiness. And through the very strongest determined faith that we take refuge, and with this as a foundation, we take the refuge vows, and then from the refuge vows, we receive a reborn in three higher realms. Now, through the power of taking refuge and through pure faith in the refuge, we will be able to prevent reborn in the suffering in the three lower realms. Now, through refuge also, we can also understand that if we don't have pure refuge in the three jewels, this will not also prevent us from above three lower realms. It is through pure refuge that we can achieve happiness, prevent the suffering in the three lower realms, but to achieve reborn in three higher realms, and through this reborn three higher realms, we can gain some temporary happiness, and this is also a very succinct essence teaching that in the lower scope, which is that to be free from suffering and to achieve happiness through taking refuge, and through refuge we have create the cause for happiness. So through the reasoning is given above, through refuge we are able to achieve the reborn the three higher realms and to be free from rebirth in the three lower realms. Be free from suffering in three lower realms. Now, is this sufficient? Being free from three lower realms, is it tantamount to complete freedom from suffering? Now, of course not, because we are still in samsara. Now, what are the suffering in samsara? Suffering in samsara refers to the suffering above old sickness and death. Now, so long as you are within samsara, you will be under influence or will be afflicted by this suffering above old sickness and death. So, but it's therefore, in order to be free from suffering completely, you must eliminate first the cause of this suffering. Now, what are these causes of suffering? Now, to eliminate this, first of all, you must understand the Four Noble Truths, understand the karma, and then have pure renunciation. And through these three aspects as the cause, only then could we be free from the from the bondage of samsara. And when you're free from the bondage of samsara, you can achieve the state of the arahanthood. And the state of arahanthood is that of a state of ultimate happiness. And in order to achieve this, you must know the Four Noble Truths. You must know the law of karma, and to have really true renunciation. Now, what this refers to? Now, this Four Noble Truths refers to. To be how to be free from suffering, to know what is suffering, how to practice the path, and how to realize into enter the ultimate peace. Now, of this, you must know what is suffering and what is impermanence and what is peace or nirvana. So, in order to, and next is to understand karma. To understand karma, first, karma, what is karma? The cause is inevitable, and cause is definite, and etc. So through this understand the law of karma, we have a perfect faith in understanding of karma. Next, to know the faults of samsara, and to be to have pure renunciation, to want to be free from suffering. With this to these three causes, we are able to be free from samsara completely. Now, then, of course, to know the faults of samsara, you have to be one to have revulsion towards samsara. To know that good cause will result in good and happiness, and bad cause will result in suffering. So, through such practicing in this way, the practitioner will be able to be free from suffering and to achieve ultimate peace, at least the state of the arahanthood. So we are not able to be free from suffering, and we are always undergoing the afflictions of many forms of suffering. Now, why is this so? Now, the reason is because we are not able to understand how karma works. We are not able to know it properly, and we have been obscured by ignorance. And so through this, we are not able to understand that in order to achieve ultimate happiness, we need to create the cause for happiness. So once we create the cause of suffering, that will result in suffering. Now, through these reasons, if we don't contemplate and actualize them. Therefore, from beginningless time, we are suffering from many kinds of suffering and being afflicted by all the harms and the burden, the weightage of all these kinds of suffering. So in order to be free from suffering, we must first understand what is karma. Now, on whichever day we are able to understand that in order to have happiness, we need to create the appropriate cause to achieve happiness. So then, to avoid to create the cause of suffering. And to understand the cause of happiness and suffering, once we're able to understand this in a very strong, definite, clear way, only then can we work and apply ourselves in the proper direction. Otherwise, if not, we will want to have happiness, but in vain, because we'll be creating the wrong, the inappropriate cause, not of happiness, but of suffering. And then we won't have happiness, but we have suffering. But unfortunately, from beginning's time, we want peace, we want happiness, but the causes we create are all that of suffering. Hence, we are all afflicted by suffering. Therefore, in order to free from suffering, you must first understand how karma works, to believe in karma, and then to apply and according to the principles of karma. So as we are saying that we've been repeatedly talking about what is karma. Now, what exactly is karma? Now, karma refers to what? Now, karma in a simple terms is actually divided to the positive, the negative karma, and now with regard to that, or the physical kind of non-virtuous karma, there are a few kinds. Now, of the three kinds, similarly to the virtuous or the positive karma, also divided into three. So together, with regard to positive or negative, physical karma is divided into six types. First is that of killing. Now, that is the killing is that of the first non-virtue of the body karma. Now, killing, of course, is negative, and we know that. So, if we know that it is if we do not know that it is a negative act, we will continue to kill. So, but even if we know that killing is bad, we may continue to kill other beings, and hence create a very negative karma. Now, if we actually love and cherish the lives of beings and of other animals, we won't kill them. If not, we will kill them and we'll put them and eat them as our food. And all these are the creation of negative karma. And this will result in what? This will result in future life, short lives, as well as many kinds of sickness or diseases. Now, this is a result from killing. Now, the second kind of the physical karma is that of stealing. Now, physical negative karma, stealing means to use things that belong to others, and through forceful means or through stealing to acquire them. All these imply killing, or you acquire them through inappropriate means, and this is also constitutes stealing. Now, the result will be that in future lives we will be poor, and also that we'll always lose our things, or that we will meet robbery, bandits, burglars, it's like thieves, and now the whole world is undergoing economic recession. Now, all these are as a result of stealing, and as a result of the consequence of negative karma from stealing. So, and also we our food and our drink, the resources are all dwindling. So the third kind of suffering is that of sexual misconduct. Now, sexual misconduct refers to being at the wrong place towards the wrong partner. We're engaging in sexual acts. Now, this refers to sexual misconduct. Now, the karma that results from this is that between people, there's no harmonious relationship, and then we always have harm from others, jealousy from others. This will not welcome or like us. Now, all these are karma from negative karma arising from sexual misconduct. So similarly, now the karma for speech is divided to four. Now, the four types of negative karma refers to, say, divisive speech, harsh speech, meaningless speech, untrue speech. Now, because of creating the all these speech karma, lying, etc. Now, this lying, we are saying what is untrue. Now, even if it's untrue, we are using all sorts of various devious means in order to obscure the truth, in order to bring to let others believe what is untrue. It may be deliberate, or it could be unconscious to some extent, but all these are all negative speech now, and will result in negative speech in the future. Now, divisive speech refers to speech that causes disharmony, and as a result, this will result in suffering for ourselves as well. Now, harsh speech are saying things that will hurt other people. Now, meaningless speech refers to meaningless speech that causes no no productive to no productive end. So and as a result of this kind of unskillful speech within people, relationship become bad and become a competition, unhealthy competition between people, and all these are results of a harsh of negative speech and mistrust between people. Now as a result of mistrust, the communication will be even further will further suffer. So as a result of this, with this mistrust between others, and others do not wish to communicate or talk to us, and this is this kind of suffering is actually quite acute and terrible, and most of you may have experience of this before. Now with regard to negative debt of mind, it refers to say greed, hatred or ignorance. Now because of harmful thoughts, example, harmful thought is a thought that wants to harm others, or anger now towards others as a result of this kind of negative mind, of what how people have harmed against us, we keep the whole grudge in our mind. So as a result of this, we give rise to a lot of suffering as a result of that. Now with regard to ignorance, ignorance refers to saying things like I don't believe in karma, I don't believe in triple gem, and that and as a result of this, in future life we will have suffering. Now about the above is a very actually kind of a short explanation of the 10 kinds of negative karma. We need to eliminate this kind of 10 negative karma in order to achieve happiness, true happiness, ultimate happiness. Now, the infinite types of suffering. So now, even though there are infinite types of suffering, now in many Buddhist commentaries, now it is mentioned that suffering can be mainly categorized into four types: that is birth, old age, sickness, and death. Now, birth refers to the time from the birth from the mother's womb, and sickness refers to the time when we are ill. Now, old age refers to the time when we are young, we are strong, but then gradually we age, and then we feel the sufferings from age. Now, the last kind of suffering is that suffering of death refers to it means to giving up our current body, and including all our friends and all our relatives, or even the people whom we love so much, our parents. We have to leave them behind at the time of death. So everything that we accumulate, all the possession, all the material wealth that we have, we need to get to let them go, and all these are associated with the suffering of death. Now, therefore, to be free from the 10 kinds of non-virtuous action, in order to achieve ultimate peace and happiness, is to first uproot the cause of suffering. And in order to do that, we must understand the Four Noble Truths. And the Four Noble Truths, out of this, to understand selflessness. And what is emphasized within it is that in order to achieve peace and happiness, the only way is to do it is to practice the Dharma, and so as to achieve ultimate real peace. Without the true Dharma practice, you can never achieve true happiness, such as through the law of karma, the Four Noble Truths, and through applying the Dharma, we can achieve ultimate fruition, out result of true happiness. Now, in order to achieve ultimate happiness and peace, especially if you want to get rid of these samsaric sufferings, we need to do it through Dharma practice, through the many kinds of suffering of happiness. Also, there also gross happiness, subtle suffering, gross happiness, subtle happiness, gross sufferings, subtle suffering. Some people think with wealth you can be free from suffering. However, is it really the case? Now, no matter how much wealth we have, can it stop us from dying? Can it stop us from falling sick? Now, we can't do that with wealth. So the only way to achieve ultimate happiness is only through the proper Dharma practice, that we can be free from suffering. For example, by taking medicine, we can be free from suffering. Through drinking water, it can quench our thirst. Now, however, now these are all temporary relief from suffering. For example, if we are hungry, we can take food, and this will get rid of our pangs of hunger. But these are all temporary and can never cannot prevent us from getting hungry again in the future. Similarly, now what we are having is just temporary suffering, and So, and all these suffering, such as death, will never allow us to be relieved from suffering. Now, the only thing is that for ordinary people, for in the world, they are not able to understand this, and they are not able, they do not wish to engage in Dharma practice. And why is that so? Why? This because people are ignorant, and because people are so attached to the present life, to everything that's happening in the present life. They are very blind to the fact that their happiness in this life is temporary and never permanent. So as a result, they are very obscure from the fact that their happiness in this life is actually temporary. Now, in the Lamrim is mentioned very clearly. First of all, we need to get rid of the attachment to this life in the very first place, before we can want to strive to achieve ultimate happiness. And to achieve happiness, we need to be free from suffering, to be free from samsara, and especially with regard to attaining Buddhahood. First of all, we need to be free from attachment to any ordinary perception or ordinary worldly forms. So such as in many other commentary, it's mentioned that only through the Dharma practice can we create the true cause of happiness. And this is in line with what the Lamrim teachings say. We need to do as was said above. Now, the past Kadam lineage master also mentioned something, which is that if you are attached to this life, you are not a religious person at all. So now what it means is that if you are attached to this present life's prestige, wealth, name, etc., you are not a real Dharma practitioner at all. So if you are attached to samsara, then you do not have renunciation. Now, if you are attached to ordinary perception, you are not, you don't have the right view, and you don't have the view of the Tathagata. So if you have attachment to this life, you can never get happiness or the future life. You have attachment to samsara, you will not have renunciation. If you have attachment to ordinary perception, you will never achieve the state of Buddhahood. Therefore, Lama Tsongkhapa, in the lower scope teachings, emphasize very strongly renunciation of from samsara, and to be free from this, first of all, you must have revulsion towards samsara, especially for Dharma practitioner. First of all, you must be free from attachment to this life, and this is what the Ingelugpa, the Lama Tsongkhapa, very very strongly emphasized this, and this is also what the other holy lineage Lama emphasized throughout, to be free from attachment in this life. Oh, so if we go after the wealth, name, and other happiness of this life, even if you are able to achieve them, you will have to sacrifice the happiness of the future lives, and then in return to get a lot of suffering in the future lives. And in order to achieve all the supposed happiness in this life, we create a lot of negative costs, and the result in suffering in future lives. And now, as we know, many people offer lamps, do prostrations, make offerings. What they want for, they aspire for, is to have long life, to be free from sickness, in order to achieve a name, to achieve prestige, to achieve advantages. Are these Dharma practice? No, these are not Dharma practice, because they are all a manifestation of attachment to this very life. Now, attachment to this life alone, to dedicate towards the happiness of this life, has no benefit to the future lives. So therefore, whether we're making aspiration, doing dedication, or doing in whatever Dharma practice, is very important. We must give rise to the right kind of motivation. The motivation must be that I'm doing this not for this life, but for renunciation, but for the benefit of all sentient beings, to be a Buddhahood for all others. Now, this is true Dharma, and this can result in ultimate true happiness in the end. No, with regard to attachment to this life, now what it refers to, as a result of our attachment to our wealth in order to have material comfort, we work towards them. All these are refer to attachment to this very life. For example, many people think that attachment to this life means what? Now, simply speaking, now as a result to attachment to this life, wealth, prestige, name, etc., are these by working towards them, with this as motivation, will it constitute the proper practice of Dharma? What we can say is that this will not be of benefit to future lives and will not be cause for Buddhahood. Now, this will merely become the cause for these lives' happiness. And if we do carry out the wrong way, it could even result in suffering in this very life. Now, similarly, we are looking only for happiness in the future lives, and we make dedication that in the future life we have happiness, we have perfection, we have beneficial condition, we born in the heavenly realms, to be born as a Brahma, as Indra, to be a wealthy millionaire, to become kings, emperors, to be different from others, and all these are attachment to future lives. And so long as you have attachment to future life, all the causes that you create will not become a cause for liberation, and to these we must stop too. Now, why is this so? Because if we attach to future lives, no matter what we do, whatever we do from body, speech and mind, through generosity of a $1 note, this will be a cause of samsara too. If it's a cause of samsara, it is not a cause for liberation. Now, because of attachment to samsara, it also is a cause of suffering. So when doing dedication, now it's very important that we must prevent from making dedication to future lives too. So, when making dedication for future life, we are having attachment to future lives. This can result in dedication to future life can give us happiness in future life, but then it will not be able to free us from birth, old age, and death, kind of suffering in future life. And then we will not be free from suffering in future life. And even when we achieve the happiness of gods and men, we are still in samsara and still is suffering. And therefore, we will still not be able to achieve ultimate happiness. Now, if we are attached to samsara, now attachment to samsara refers to what? Now, refers to samsara is divided into the form, the desire, the form, and the formless realm. Now, this refers to the three types of, the three cycles of samsara. Now, if we actually make dedication to be reborn in heavenly realms, to become gods, now, but being with the gods, is it ultimate happiness? No, it's only temporary. Now, because it's only just temporary happiness, therefore it is not ultimate. And if it is, because it is not ultimate, because it is samsara, because samsara it is still suffering. Now, when talking about suffering, there are three types. Now, the god suffering will not have the suffering of suffering, but the god's realm will suffer from the suffering of impermanence and the suffering of aggregates. Now, with regard to the heavenly realm of course is beautiful, is lovely, is enjoyable, but it is still in samsara. There's no liberation and it's not ultimate happiness. So therefore, if you are born as gods in the desire realm of the form realm, the formless realm, so long as the merits are exhausted, you will need to come back again to the samsara. And you could be reborn to lower realm samsara too, have to undergo infinite kinds of suffering. When I understand this, then we will not. We will know that being reborn as a god also is only temporary, the enjoyment, and will never have ultimate happiness. So therefore, attachment to samsara must be broken, must be curtailed and stopped. Now, the third kind is that of attachment to ordinary perception. Now, refers to is self-grasping. Now, when we think that self have a very strong sense of selfhood, now we have been obscuration to enlightenment or liberation. Now, similarly, with this kind of attachment, you will not be free from samsara, because in samsara you will have a grasping to a false sense of self. As a result of grasping to a false sense of self, all the karma will be created. No matter how many prostrations and offerings you do, they will become a cause for happiness in the gods and human right, and will not be a cause for liberation. Hence, therefore, attachment to ordinary perception must also be stopped and be cut off. And so if we cannot stop grasping to ordinary perception, it will not be free from samsara, it will not be a cause for enlightenment. Now, through the above explanation, we would understand that attachment to this life is wrong. Attachment to future life is wrong. Attachment to samsara is also something we should not do. And attachment to ordinary perception is also wrong. So then, what should we do? If all these things are wrong, what should we do? We should understand, no matter where we are reborn into, now we must understand, no, whatever enjoyment that we have are all samsaric enjoyments. Therefore, they are all suffering. They cause the suffering. Now, whatever that we experience in samsara are all samsaric manifestations, and so causes of suffering. So, in order to create the causes to be reborn back into samsara again, now whatever cause that we create, now it cannot be related to these four kinds of attachment as said above. So, therefore, we need to give the kind of wish to be free, to be that wherever we are born, we will be free from suffering. Whatever that we enjoy, whatever partnerships that we have, now will not become causes of samsara, causes for suffering. So with this kind of dedication of aspiration, only purely towards full enlightenment, towards pure practice and pure enlightenment, this then can be called is an authentic dharma practice, pure authentic dharma practice. Hence, therefore, with this as motivation, this then could be known as the real and actual direct cause for happiness and peace. So when we have liberation from samsara and we have achieved ultimate peace, now is this means we have fulfilled self-benefit. But is self-benefit the ultimate? No, self-benefit is the ultimate, because how can we not take care of all mother sentient beings? Therefore, we need to enter the Mahayana path. Now, the Mahayana path refers to what? Now, the Mahayana path refers to the great compassionate and great love as the great bodhicitta as our motivation. Now, it means that we want to help all mother sentient beings. Now, all mother sentient beings, to help them, you must think that what is the best way I can do to help them? Arahan are free from suffering. Do they have this kind of power, ability to help mother beings? But no, they don't have the full ability. Only the Buddha has the full ability to benefit all mother sentient beings. And therefore, we give us the bodhicitta to think that I want to be attain the state of Buddhahood in order to attain the state of Buddhahood for the sake of all mother beings. And this is known as Mahayana practitioner's path. Now, when we are free from suffering, we are away from defilements, but we are not free from that defilement of grasping the phenomena. So therefore, we need to be free from every defilement, then can we call it Buddhahood. But being free, how to be free from, how to achieve the Buddhahood, we need to have great compassion, great love, great bodhicitta, and then the right view. And these are the causes to achieve for achievement of Buddhahood. For achievement of Buddhahood, what is it for? It is so as to benefit all every being, mother sentient being in every direction, everywhere. So in order to, once you have achieved self-benefit, it's not sufficient. You still need to benefit others. So in Mahayana, we are saying that bodhicitta is our foundation, and with bodhicitta as foundation, we practice the right view of emptiness. Therefore, in the Lam Rim Chemo, in the three principal aspects of the path, we have renunciation, bodhicitta, and the right view. And in the path of the Buddhist practitioner or the Mahayana practitioner, these three are indispensable and essential. Now, today, all mother sentient beings are like ourselves, are equal, such as an ant. An ant also want to have happiness, so even an ant will want to be free from suffering. So all mother sentient beings have the same wish, the same kind of aspiration, but they are obscured by ignorance. They do not know what are the proper cause to be free from suffering, and not to create the cause of suffering, and to achieve happiness, what kind of cause to create, and what they do, and they act, are actually contradictory to what will result in. Hence, therefore, they are always in samsara, cycling in all kinds of undergoing infinite forms of suffering. Now, this is because they are not clear about how karma works. And now, when we experience very strong effects from illness, now we know that we need to use very correspondingly strong medications, such as through injection, through operation. operation, surgery, and all these rather radical medical remedy to free ourselves from very strong illness. And we must know that in order to be because we can tolerate all this kind of strong medication in order to be free from suffering of illness. However, to be free from is therefore, if we want to be free from samsara, why can't we tolerate strong dharma practice or rigorous dharma practice? That's because we do not know how to do dharma practice properly. So whatever the Buddha has taught, all these different paths are only one to give us freedom from suffering. And these are all a remedy for ourselves, and we should understand that through this, we should be able to tolerate any vigorous or rigorous form of dharma practice, because they are only meant for us to be free from samsara in the end. So therefore, through dharma practice, through the pure application of dharma in a proper and correct manner, so through dharma practice, then we can accomplish ultimate happiness, we can achieve ultimate Buddhahood, and through all these dharma practice, we can perfect benefit for ourselves, and so through dharma practice, we can perfect benefit for others, and for all mother sentient beings. So this is known as the Mahayana practice, and through Mahayana practice means to listen, to contemplate, and to apply. Now, within Mahayana practice, the quintessential of which is bodhicitta, and with the bodhicitta as the cause, we will be able to achieve the highest Buddhahood. The highest Buddhahood is not just to benefit ourselves, but it's also to benefit and help all sentient beings. So, therefore, and through the true Buddhahood, we'll be able to have perfection, to achieve perfection through Buddhahood. So the Buddha know that all beings want happiness and all beings want to be free from suffering. Now happiness is what is the aim of every sentient being. So the Buddha has given infinite Dharma teachings and turned the wheel of Dharma in three great times. And when Venerable Atisha wants to explain the ultimate aims and objectives of the Buddha, he actually composed the commentary, The Lamb of the Path to Enlightenment. Similarly, Shantideva, in order to propagate the spirit of the Buddha, also composed the Guide to Bodhisattva's Way of Life. So Lama Tsongkhapa also, in order to have a renaissance of the Dharma, also composed and also to review the ultimate thought of the Buddha, composed Lamrim Chemo, and Kamalashila also composed the stages of path of meditation in order to help all sentient beings. Now this is order to help all sentient beings attain ultimate happiness, ultimate perfection, so as to help all sentient beings attain both self-benefit as well as benefit for others. As a result, therefore, this is what is meant by the Buddha Dharma, and this is Dharma, and the Dharma's strength, the Dharma's ability, and the Dharma's benefit. Now, inclusive of the Buddha, there are also all the lineage master of India and of Tibet. They have painstakingly composed many important commentary. Why is it for? It is always to help, not to help themselves, but to help all mother sentient beings. Now, to help all these mother sentient beings, similarly, that they will achieve happiness, especially what we know as ultimate happiness, especially the unsurpassed highest state of Buddhahood. They have painstakingly, through great effort, composed so many commentary, because they understand only through the Buddha Dharma, only then can they help both themselves and most importantly for others. So therefore, now that we have a chance to listen, to contemplate, and to apply and practice the Dharma, so we should try and attempt to see if we can really give rise to great compassion. Now we have great compassion, then we can give rise to bodhicitta. And then with bodhicitta, we have confidence we can attain Buddhahood. To attain the highest state of Buddhahood is to be able to perfect benefit for others. So similarly, all the past lineage masters have these as their aim. Hence, therefore, they have true with so much pain, with so much suffering, sacrifice, compose all this commentary only for the benefit of others. So therefore, we should actually always learn the principles of bodhicitta. Think, know how to arise bodhicitta. Now to arise bodhicitta, there are sequence. First of all, you have to know all beings your mother. You have to remember the kindness, want to repay the kindness, wish them for your happiness, etc. The seven cause and effect, especially for the Mahayana practitioner, the what we call the six or the ten kinds of paramita to practice. For Mahayana, he's humble, he's peaceful. and he will not want to harm any sentient beings. This Mahayana practitioner is different from others. Even if this practitioner is reborn, the next rebirth will be very different from samsara, and he can attain the highest Buddhahood. Why I want to put the highest Buddhahood? Because highest Buddhahood, then you can without partiality benefit all sentient beings. So then we can with great compassion benefit all beings. So therefore, in this life, we have a chance to know, to practice bodhicitta. We should definitely grasp this very important opportunity to practice and enhance our bodhicitta. The early on, Rinpoche said the seven cause and effect for giving rise to bodhicitta is knowing all beings as a mother, remembering their kindness, wanting to repay their kindness, wishing to be free from wishing happiness, wishing free from suffering, wanting to take on the responsibility for them, and to win the Buddhahood for them. It was missed out because I have no time to go through them earlier on. Earlier on, we mentioned that all sentient beings do not want to have suffering. All beings want to have peace and happiness. Now, however, all these beings are keep on creating the wrong cause, which is the cause for suffering. That's because they are ignorant. And when beings are ignorant, they are not aware. They do not know what is the cause of suffering, and they do not know what is the cause of happiness, and how to differentiate between the two, and how to practice accordingly. So, therefore, because they practice the wrong kind of causes, hence therefore they experience what they do not wish to experience. And so from the past to the present, we have accomplished many human rebirths. In the samsara, we have reborn so many infinite times, and all the human rebirth, we have wasted them. This time we have been achieved this human body, which is so precious. We must definitely grasp this excellent opportunity, never let slip away this human body, to know how to create the correct causes of happiness, how to create the cause of happiness. Through creating the cause of happiness, to have a strong beneficial effect, and through strong beneficial effect, then we can achieve ultimate happiness and peace. And through learning about this, then we contemplate on it, and then after we recognize this, what is the perfect cause, what are the perfect causes to achieve happiness, how to bring about the perfect result too. And through this, therefore, we should learning this, we have to, after we understand them, we contemplate on them, we have to apply them. So after understanding what is the cause for happiness, but then we do not apply to them, this is something like a patient. Now, a patient said he wants to take medicine, but then he didn't take it in the end. So this is not going to give him any benefit or relief. Oh, we must also see our motivation, to see in our heart, in our mind, what are we looking for. We should know we want happiness, we want peace. How to achieve this happiness, how to achieve this peace? We want to be free from suffering, and through what means can we be free from suffering? So through these methods, we are able to master these methods and to know all these, then can we really create the causes for happiness. Because in the past, we attach only to our present life. We think that with wealth, we can solve anything, but in the process, we create even more problems. So we must remedy all these shortcomings. Just like we mentioned earlier, now we are all going after name, renown, wealth, advantages of these lives. Therefore, through this, because we are attached to this life, we only want temporary happiness and peace of this life. We have actually neglected future lives. We have neglected, because of this negligence, we have created causes for infinite suffering in future lives. And therefore, as a result, we should, on the contrary, think about how. If we are reborn in a lower rhyme, what's going to happen to us? We are born in hungry gold rhymes. Can we tolerate hunger? If we are reborn in hell rhymes, can we tolerate the suffering in there? If we are born in animal rhymes, when we are getting slaughtered, eaten, killed, can we tolerate this? This is suffering we are scared of. And If we are reborn into the lower realms, can we tolerate all this infinite suffering? Now you must really understand these are the true suffering that we cannot tolerate. So therefore, we should give rise to have renunciation from this life completely, and to diligently exert all the causes for ultimate happiness. And from this contemplating, then can we be free from suffering? Then can we achieve happiness, ultimate peace? Ultimate peace. Then can we create the cause to achieve happiness, ultimate peace, through realizing, recognizing very clearly and strongly suffering of the three lower realms. A petitioner with renunciation, with the wanting to attain Buddhahood as the ultimate aim. So therefore, the petitioner in the samsara, life after life, he was better and better and more perfect. But ourselves are different from that petitioner we talk about. Ourselves, because of attachment to this life, therefore, every life and life after life will become worse and worse. Suffering from one life to the next is worse and worse, stronger and stronger. Why? Because we do not know how to create the cause of peace and happiness. And whether we know or we don't know, the difference is that drastic, is that drastic. From the above explanation, maybe we can experience that happiness and suffering is because of the cause. Because of cause, we will experience whether happiness or suffering. So therefore, we should try to practice how to create the good cause and to be free from the bad cause. So therefore, through practicing and recognizing what is good karma, what is bad karma, and to know how to distinguish between what is good speech or negative speech, and to disadvantages of the negative speech, and how to cut away all these causes, and therefore to understand the law of karma very accurately, to establish it very correctly. And how to do it, we have to first learn them. And if we don't learn them correctly, through ignorance, we can create a lot of causes of suffering. So because of ignorance, we create a lot of negative karma, a lot of negative karma, there'll be infinite suffering. And because of this, first of all, we must be able to listen, to contemplate, and then first of all, to listen and to learn. Through this, we can know how to acquire what is happiness and the causes of happiness. According to what the Buddha has taught, all this Dharma teaching is to allow being to have happiness, to be free from suffering. Now, in the past, all the yogi or the past and practitioner, they all follow what the Buddha has shown and actualize what the Buddha has taught, and so that they are free from suffering, and then to create the cause for happiness, and to be to leave the cause of suffering. So, but ourselves, because of our ignorance, we are not learning correctly. We thought, or maybe we know, but we didn't actualize and apply what we know. So even though we want happiness, but we keep on creating a lot of suffering. So because of this, therefore, we have to make some changes now. Now we must contemplate and think that because even though we want happiness, we are not able to have the cause for happiness. Even though we want to be free from suffering, but then we are not able to be free from the cause of suffering. So we have to actually relook about what we have done in the past, and think about what is the cause of suffering, what is the cause of happiness, and then through learning, we can know that in the past, or the suffering we have had in the past, this should be a kind of admonishment to ourselves, and then to have a very wide vision towards the future, meaning that in the future, how can we prevent suffering? And how to prevent suffering, this will be a decisive factor on how we, what will result in the end. In order even not to have suffering in the future, we must stop the cause of suffering now. In order to have happiness at the moment, we must create the appropriate cause for it. We cannot just be mere words. We must ourselves apply this. Otherwise, it will not be of any benefit at all. We have to understand how to achieve happiness. The Buddha taught what way to be free, to have happiness, and what did Buddha teach to be free from suffering, and what did the Buddha teach to avoid the 10 non-virtuous action, and what the Buddha teach to emphasize the importance of 10 virtuous action. By knowing it, we have to, according to what the Buddha taught, to also rely upon a proper spiritual teacher to properly learn, to listen, to contemplate, to apply, and only then they will be of benefit to ourselves. Otherwise, we'll be like in the past, although we want happiness and peace, we're not able to get them. So even though we have to be free from suffering, but we keep on creating the causes for suffering. Now, the best way, of course, is for ourselves to diligently exert in refuge, to have pure refuge within our hearts. And because if we can do it diligently, then we should, in addition to refuge, is renunciation. To build upon renunciation, we should understand selflessness, emptiness. To even further than that, we need to think of how to have to arise bodhicitta within our minds, and through listening them, studying them, applying them, only then can we make the human body meaningful, and to have this to achieve happiness in our human life. Otherwise, to achieve ultimate peace is impossible and very difficult. Now, most importantly, is a truth of emptiness or selflessness. We should actually learn what is selflessness or emptiness. If we do not achieve the wisdom and emptiness, or the understand selflessness, there will not be ultimate peace. In one of the commentary, it was mentioned that without the wisdom of selflessness, the peace of liberation shall evade. Why? Because the cause of suffering is what? The cause of suffering is because of the three poisons of greed, attachment, anger, and ignorance. If we, anything that can is an antidote against the three poison, there are methods to apply, and the methods to apply is the wisdom of selflessness, and with the wisdom of selflessness, if we do not have the wisdom, we have grasped at the self, we create the cause of suffering. And what is selfless? In the Hina tradition, they call it selflessness. In Mahayana, we call it emptiness. In order to be free from the three poisons, in order to uproot the three poison completely, the Buddha, in the first turning of the Dharma, the Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths. The Four Noble Truths is about the truth of suffering, the truth of the end of suffering, the truth of the how to end our suffering, and through these four noble truths, we can uproot the causes of suffering completely. We have to know what is the cause of suffering. The cause of suffering is due to the three poison. Anything that that can be antidote against the three poison must be with the correct methods. And the correct methods refers to this wisdom of selflessness. And through the wisdom of selflessness, we can uproot deforming completely. Otherwise, through self-grasping, there will be creation of causes of suffering, and the bad karma, the creation of the causes of suffering is what is in the Hinayana Buddhist tradition is called the wisdom of selflessness. In Mahayana, we call it emptiness. The Buddha, in order to to stop the suffering of the tree poison, in order to uproot the tree poison completely, in the first turning wheel of Dharma, the Buddha taught the Four Noble Truths. In the Four Noble Truths, what the Buddha taught about the truth of suffering, the cause of suffering, the truth of the end of suffering, and the truth of how to apply the Eight Noble Path through the Four Noble Truths, the Buddha is able to end the root of the samsara, of the tree poison, completely. Now the Buddha, when teaching the Four Noble Truths, in the beginning, what the Buddha is saying is to understand the truth of suffering. Now the truth of suffering, why is that so? Because if we don't understand what is there suffering, we're not able to point out what is suffering, then how could we be free from suffering? Now following that, after understanding what is suffering, then we can let all sentient beings know what is the cause of suffering. Now the cause of suffering is defilement, and defilement is due to self-grasping. And as a result, the Buddha continued with the third and fourth noble truth, and the cause of suffering means ignorance, self-grasping, or defilements. And because of self-grasping, we create the wrong bad karma. Because of creating wrong karma, then this is the actual cause of suffering of samsara. So the Buddha, when he's teaching the Dharma, why did he talk about suffering first? That was because before you can cure a sickness, you have to know what kind of sickness you are having. And by understanding what kind of sickness you have, then after the proper diagnosis, could we then apply the proper remedy? So therefore, the Buddha, beginning, he's talking, he used the truth of suffering. The truth of suffering is the first noble truth. Therefore, what is suffering? The first noble truth. So later on, after knowing what is sickness, then we must continue to let you know what medicine or remedy you can apply in order to be free from the illness. So similarly, after understanding what is suffering, then we can know what is the cause of suffering, and then to uproot this cause. And through practicing, selflessness is the remedy to be free from suffering. So the second one is the truth of the cause of suffering. Following the Buddha, continue the truth of suffering. Now the third noble truth, that just like the doctor tell the patient, if you don't take the medicine, you will not be able to be healed and to be free from the illness. So therefore, the Buddha tell them there is an end to the suffering. Now similarly, when we know by taking a medicine we can be free from illness, and but you believing the medicine there itself, it can't cure you. So therefore the Buddha gave the fourth noble truth, which is the way to the end of suffering. The Buddha tell all beings that through this path and through this path's practice and application, with proper practice, then you can finally remedy or heal all the sickness. Okay. This Four Noble Truth, and the Four Noble Truth is our main, the main teaching given the first turning wheel of Dharma. The first is that truth of suffering, that let all beings know what suffering is. Secondly, it tells sentient beings to be free from suffering. You must understand what is the cause of suffering, and the cause of suffering means is ignorance. By breaking this ignorance, only then can we eliminate what is suffering. Now, finally, we need to tell sentient being how to be free, how to achieve the end of suffering. By ending the truth of suffering, we can use what are the ways to apply to end the suffering, and that's the path. And so therefore Buddha in the end, the Buddha taught about the way to end suffering. And so therefore there's a Four Noble Truth. The Four Truth, this is the reason for the sequential progress of this Four Noble Truth. Now when the Buddha, what the Buddha taught are infinite, there are so many different Dharma teaching the Buddha, but all these Dharma teaching essentially are all encompassed within the Four Noble Truth. And this Four Noble Truth looks simple, but It tells sentient being what to accept and what to reject, and these are all very clearly elucidated in the Four Noble Truths. For example, if sentient beings want to achieve happiness, they will tell sentient being you should actually the cause of suffering. If you mean free from suffering, they should tell you have to be to break the cause of suffering through the Second Noble Truth, etc. Hence, the Four Noble Truths is telling sentient being how to be free from suffering and how to achieve happiness. With regards to the truth of the end of suffering, what it means is liberation. Now, liberation, does it have no cause? No, the liberation has its causes, and it's through diligent exertion in the striving achievement of these causes that we can be free, have liberation. After understanding what is suffering, we have to want to break it and to know what the cause of it, and the cause of it is ignorance and defilement. So the Buddha continue talking about the cause of suffering, the way to end it, and the end to the end, the truth of the end of suffering. So now about the truth of the path to the end of suffering, there is actually a very wide wide topics involved. So first of all is that of renunciation, the right view of emptiness. So through this renunciation, bodhicitta, and to the emptiness, this can be further elucidated, and hence we come up with the three scopes. And these three scopes are methods, and these methods itself, first of all, we have to learn, we have to listen, to contemplate, to recognize them, to know what is suffering, before we can realize how the end of suffering. Therefore, first of all, without first listening and listening and learning about them, we cannot build upon that. We cannot understand and actualize this Four Noble Truths. Now, actually, when we talk about suffering, now the root cause of suffering is self-grasping or ignorance. Ignorance and self-grasping. Now, ignorance, it refers to it refers to the fundamental ignorance manifests as the ordinary ignorance. It means someone who is not able to cook because he doesn't know how to cook. So he will cook a wok of food which is completely inedible. Now, like someone who is lost will walk into the wrong path, and all these because of ignorance. Now, similarly, all sentient being because they are not able to really see reality. So therefore, their ignorance, and from there they create a lot of bad karma. So in order to counter such ignorance is the wisdom of selflessness, and the wisdom of selflessness becomes a means to get rid of ignorance. So in the Guide to the Bodhisattva Way of Life, it was mentioned that all sentient beings, although the Buddha has taught everything, is only but for one purpose. The purpose is to give rise to Prajna wisdom, the wisdom of emptiness. The Buddha taught all these for the sake of teaching the wisdom of selflessness. So therefore, all the paramitas, or the generosity, morality, etc., are all taught for the sake of this perfection of wisdom. If we do not, but we are not possessed the first five perfection, we will still not be able to give rise to Prajna, or the sixth perfection. Therefore, in another commentary, and it was mentioned that the Buddha has taught all these dharma for the sake of prajna, for wisdom. And prajna means the view, and the view means the view of emptiness, the view of selflessness, the view of impermanence. So liberation is a result of view, and liberation is a result of this view. Yeah. Now, because of time, we will stop at this part. So we have to understand through the wisdom of selflessness, we can then get rid of all kinds of suffering. Then can we truthfully accomplish all happiness? In order to achieving wisdom of selflessness is our motivation. We should do our thing. Therefore, for Nagarjuna in the past, he taught the middle way so as to achieve the ultimate happiness for all beings. through the ultimate, through the wisdom of prajna, the wisdom of selflessness, this is the actual critical tool that will give happiness to all. So similarly, we must learn what is selflessness, the principles behind it, and by learning them, we can then actualize and experience what is interdependence. And through understanding the manner of interdependence, we can realize emptiness, we can realize selflessness. Keep this in your mind, all students.